Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James, by the mic, joined by our head producer, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, and hello, sunshine.
Yeah, no kidding.
Your energy matches that sunshine. It really does.
Nice.
It felt good today. It was bright, like the moment I got out of the house this morning. Mm-hmm. It's just been there the whole time. It's been really nice to see, Brittany. Are we going to have some more of this today?
Oh, yes. We've got it on tap for today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, even still hanging on for Memorial Day as well. So nothing but sunshine. We are battling a little bit of a wind chill still this morning. Winds are gusting around 20 miles per hour, so the temperatures are actually feeling about 5 degrees cooler. But we're going to hit 60 degrees today. We're going to hit 60 tomorrow. We're going to climb to the mid-60s on Saturday, Sunday, and possibly flirt with 70 on Memorial Day. So nothing but honestly great weather, especially for us that like to be outside on this holiday, camping, things like that, exploring state parks. So I'm glad no one's shaking their fist at me right now.
Yeah, it's got to feel good. It's got to be nice. A little change of pace for once in a while.
Oh, it's such a thankless task, Brittany. It's so thankless. Yeah.
That's why we appreciate you so much. And thank you for setting us up so well, too. We appreciate you, Brittany. Have a good morning. We'll talk again tomorrow, get people ready for the weekend.
Sounds good. Enjoy the day.
You too.
Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. Looking forward to seeing, hearing that same forecast tomorrow. Similar thing.
Let's keep it all summer long. Can I put my order in now? Just like this? Well, maybe a little warmer, but yeah, let's keep it going.
Is that what we need to be doing? I didn't realize. Should we be putting in our order? Maybe that's why we get such crazy weather around here. Mother Nature, she's just got to, you know.
Does she have a website? Maybe she does, and we just don't know about it.
Could somebody look into that? Because we really should be on that, I feel
like. Maybe she takes requests. I don't know.
We are on a couple of topics. We'll be getting into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll also get into the most sleep-deprived cities in America. We also have for you, people are debating online whether you introduce yourself when calling companies. We'll get into that one a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's new or not. I did not get a chance to pre-look at that.
We'll learn together, I guess.
At the start of the 10 o'clock hour, it's a Thursday. You know what we do around here. We have our Pet of the Week with Denise and the Southwood County Humane Society.
Excellente.
Shout out to Milltown Coffee, sponsoring that. We appreciate them doing
so. We do, indeed.
Afterwards, Seth and I will get a little bit of entertainment news for you. We're going to talk Ozzy. We're going to talk Beatles. And I got a fun one here for us, Seth. The 10 songs that have been used the most in TV and movies.
Ooh, I probably could guess a couple of those.
And this feels kind of weird to say, but I for me, there was a surprise at the top.
Really?
Yeah, I probably watch more movies and TV shows than anybody in this building. I was still surprised by it. Mm-hmm. Still surprised. Yep. And I don't say that braggingly, by the way.
No.
There was no bragging involved in that.
I was so surprised.
Actually, a little bit of shame involved in that. Got all that to get into. And, a couple of other fun topics we'll be diving into, along with, of course, wrapping up our show with some good stories of the day. We've got a lot of great events going on in their area, certainly with Memorial Day around the corner. We'll be talking about that and highlighting some of those things. But we begin where Seth and I, of course, would, with fashion.
Because we are on top. Fashion news, we are there.
It's kind of our wheelhouse, everybody.
It is.
New people joining the show here and everything may not realize this, but I can't keep that going.
You can't keep that going too long.
Can't keep that going.
Anyone who's ever seen you, yeah.
Yeah, I am, like, if you want to know what's cool, just do the opposite of the way I'm dressing and everything.
You got it.
You should be fine. You should be fine. And don't do this, maybe. There have been a lot of crazy shoe trends, even in the last 20 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I stretched out to 20. I almost said 10. But I was just about to say 10, and I was going to reference Crocs. They've been around a lot longer than 10
years.
They
have, yes.
Time is a flat circle. So Crocs, Croc boots, Croc sandals. I got all kinds of Crocs. Mm-hmm. And that's, I would say, probably the last big, shoe trend that caught on with the masses. They did a thing here with, when Kobe Bryant was still selling shoes, they kind of went back to the old fat shoe where they were wide.
Remember that, yeah.
And then that went away, and now all the shoes are like cars nowadays. They all look the same to me. Every time an athlete gets a new shoe, I'm excited. And then I see it, and I'm like, okay, that looks like everything else
every I've other ever shoe seen. That's yeah. ever, yeah.
Or they go crazy with it, and they're just trying too hard.
Right.
I'll admit, with all these things, I don't think I've said this enough before. I don't pretend that it's necessarily easy to mm-hmm. reinvent the wheel when shoes, cars, or any of these things. Yeah. But that is your job. That is what you signed up for. Nobody made you sign
That's
up for that.
That's true. I mean,
you know, you got a job to do. And maybe come up with something better than soccer cleats. Because that is the new trend where people are wearing soccer cleats when not playing soccer in everyday life.
What?
So people have them on just to run errands. It's become a viral sensation with the hashtag, quote, boots only summer. And apparently that's turned them into a fashion statement. Is it practical? No.
No.
Wearing studded boots on asphalt, concrete, or tiled floors can be slippery and uncomfortable. Not to mention can cause, you know, injuries.
Can mess with your joints like nothing?
They are not meant for this.
No, they are not.
Hard surfaces also cause the spikes to wear down faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem to matter, though, because, quote, it's a pure vibe.
What? Get out of here. Pure vibe.
And this is coming, like, just in case, you know, anybody is still, you know, on the fence about this actually being a thing or whatever. Oh, this is a small bit. This is coming from GQ.
Really?
Like, you know, which is still the standard for most of these things and everything.
Well,
to a degree.
Yeah, right. They may be, maybe that might be turning soon, I guess,
yeah.
if this is what they're getting into.
I cannot put in my mind the rationality of this, but I do love the idea of somebody like, you know, they were playing soccer with a bunch of friends or something like that. They were in a rush. Then I don't have time to take my cleats off. And they
right.
go to the coffee shop because mm-hmm. this definitely happened in the coffee shop. It definitely did. Somebody saw this, like, well, that's really cool. Is that a trend? I didn't realize it was
yeah.
a trend. I got to start doing that. I don't
all
even
the
have
hipsters
soccer
started
cleats.
Freaking out, right?
All
yep.
the hipsters started doing
I mean,
it, man.
Yep. They just, what do I do? What are these? I don't even know what these are.
You can't convince me that somebody decided this was the new fashion trend and
right.
they were going to start a trend here.
I think you're right. I think it was an accident complete, and then it just kind of went. Hopefully, this is one of those short-lived
yeah.
fads. Trends, whatever you want to call it. We used to call them fads. Now they call them trends.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
And not even just soccer cleats, the whole boots only summer thing.
Like, what does that even mean?
I want as little on my feet as possible in the summer.
Right.
And I live in Wisconsin. I can't imagine where most of these articles are coming from in the, you know, warmer states and everything. Like, what are you doing?
I guess they don't mean. Like snow boots, I'm hoping that's not what they mean because that would just be insane. But I mean, even so, like hiking boots, okay, I'm down with that. You know, those are made for walking, you know, and for long distances, and they have breathable, you know, so your feet don't get overly hot and all that kind of stuff. So that would make sense. But I don't think that's what they mean by boots.
I
think it's more like, you know, your thigh high lace ups or something like that.
You mentioned it being insane. So is wearing cleats.
That's true. So much so.
And I don't. All bets are off now. Bets are off.
Hey, you hipsters out there. Do you know what would be really cool? Wearing golf shoes everywhere.
Yes.
That will in no way infuriate people.
I want that.
That you make their floor into a puncture board. You know, they won't mind.
I want that trend. I want everybody. I want younger people dressing like John Daly. I want that trend.
Including the haircut.
Yeah.
You gotta have the haircut, though.
Here's a trend that hasn't come around. How about younger people, like, and I'm talking like 16 to 18 and everything, dressing like in Dockers, and you know, just like just pleated pants.
Yeah.
You know, really dressy shoes.
They look like they're going to like a retreat,
yeah.
like a corporate retreat or something. Yeah.
We've
that's kind of funny.
Everything else. You would think
Why not?
That, you would think that fashion trends, that's just the way that this works. Okay, well, we've done this. We've done this. Now what is left? Well, we haven't done this.
So. Well, see, now we need what we got to do. The next things, you know, to really get out there is you have to start wearing like career specific stuff of careers you're not in. So we need to start seeing lab coats.
Yeah.
Everyone
yes.
wearing white
yes.
lab coats. You know, that, and it's a, you know, if you want to get out there, if you want to be really, you know, set the bar,
mm-hmm.
wear lab coats or wear like a complete, not a cowboy hat, a complete cowboy outfit. Okay, we're talking with the chaps. We're talking,
I mean,
all
you
the
gotta
things.
Go all in.
You
yes.
gotta go all in.
Enough of this cowboy hat stuff.
Yeah,
that's
forget
just,
about
that's
that.
Phoning it in.
Yeah.
You're just phoning.
We need
it
the
in.
Whole outfit.
Oh, I put
like
a cowboy
you're going to a rodeo.
Hat. I put a cowboy hat on. That makes me tough. Like,
extra
no,
points.
No.
Extra points if you put, do the clown, the rodeo clown, even get the makeup, you know,
everything.
Yep. That is the new trend. I'm telling you right now.
I want to see, remember the little thing you'd put on your head and they had the little two pokey things out and the fur fuzzballs on top. I want that to be a trend.
The beanie with the antennae on it, right? Yeah, that'd be awesome. How about just beanies in general?
Well, because hats here and there were different for quite a while, where you had people like in warm weather wearing the big, you know, stocking cap and stuff. And I'll say that about the boots thing. If you're in warmer climates, you don't get a chance to wear boots as often as we do out here. So maybe there's a little bit of that. But, I mean, you're going to have swamp feet.
That's
swamp feet right there.
I'm telling you, unless you have like the best socks in the world.
Maybe this is different for, I have clown shoes for feet. I have size 12 feet. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's different for me. My feet are just a walking swamp as it is, possibly. I don't know. But for me, I want to get as far away from like anything on my feet as I can, the warmer it gets.
Right, exactly.
I love being barefoot.
Enjoy it.
715-424-2600. Do you prefer being barefoot or shoes or sandals or something like that?
Well, we have now come full circle, James, because you are now trendy going barefoot because now you are touching grass. So you made it.
I did it.
You made it. You're finally hip, man. Finally.
I didn't expect to get emotional about this, but I'd like to thank everybody that helped me this way. Every girl I ever dated that tried to help me get some kind of fashion sense, thank you. All those strangers laughing at me, thank you. Thank you. You really motivated me. I appreciate this so much. I can't talk anymore. We got to go to break. We will come back with some good stuff. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Looking forward to doing some celebrating here on Mornings at WFHR. You heard them. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to our friends at El Cafe sponsoring this segment, giving us an opportunity to do something nobody in this area is doing, celebrating you.
That's absolutely right.
We enjoy being able to do this.
Yes, we do.
And we really, really enjoy interacting with all of you. Now, you get us your birthdays and anniversaries, how you got them, whether you want to email them to us, info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our WFHR or WIRI Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly call up.
So. Yeah, 715-424-2600. Hey, there's another option, too, that I want to put out there. You can stop by. Mm-hmm. Give it to Pam. She'd love to talk with you and get that information from you. Come on down to 1690 2nd Avenue South during our normal hours, 9 to 4 on weekdays.
I don't know if you, because you were in such a crossover transition period with us here. I don't know if you were here for this, but that's how it used to be done.
Yeah,
people just stop by and give Pam a little sheet of paper with all the birthdays on it or whatever.
And
so feel free to do that, everybody. Yep. And of course, we love when you join us live on the air here. And you can text us in, whatever you got to do, get it to us.
We are here for you.
I am trying to learn Morse code. So if you want to do that, that's
you
fine,
know,
too.
That's the trend of the newest communication trend, you know, going back all the way to Morse code, you know.
Again, with fashion trends, what was old is now new and all that. Can I be honest with everybody, real vulnerable moment here? I actually have been trying to learn a little bit of Morse code.
Hey, that's cool because, you know, James, the time will come when you are in a movie. Where the whole thing hinges on someone knowing Morse code, because that happens a lot in movies.
Does any actors know Morse code? Oh, I do. Me. Excuse me, Mr. De Niro. You're going to have to move now.
You never know, man. That might be the kicker for one of those things. I know Morse code.
The whole reasoning for it is movies and TV shows.
I know.
It's the whole reason. I want to know if they're actually doing it or Morse code or not. It's been driving me crazy for years, and I want to know. And I thought it'd be cool to learn, language.
Why not? Yeah.
It's a pointless waste of time for me. It really is. But I appreciate the people that learn
There's
Morse
gotta
code.
There's got to be a Morse code appreciation society somewhere. It's got to be.
Absolutely. There is. Absolutely. Gotta be. We appreciate you getting us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Taking a look at our list, Seth, I need a 1 through 3.
One.
All right. Gives us that one. So we can get right to the celebrating. And first up, want to wish a happy birthday to Christina Burroughs.
Happy birthday, Christina.
Enjoy the day, Christina. Yeah. It's a good one for you. And a very happy birthday to Alex Quinnell.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Alex and I believe his cousin, Ben Chittick, have played here before. They were on the air with us a couple of times on the morning show.
Love it.
A very good drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And wishing him a great birthday. Enjoy.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Playing, man. Mm-hmm. And our qualifiers today celebrating their 49th anniversary.
Wow.
Jim and Pam Nguyen.
Oh, Jim and Pam.
That
congratulations.
That not only the greatest names couples could have,
mm-hmm.
And I am very biased on that because that is the same name as my mother and father.
I know. It's hilarious.
But,
I love it.
But it's also one of these ones where I've been in this job almost 10 years, mm-hmm. and I believe every year we've gotten to celebrate this one.
That's great.
I don't know if they've qualified before.
Well, they can't say that anymore because mm-hmm. they are certainly qualified right now.
But it just makes me very appreciative to our listeners to mm-hmm. continue to get us these and do this. It's a really fun thing to for us to have this little small moment with yep. you guys and share these days with you. We really do appreciate
it. We do appreciate that. It. We really enjoy it.
Who are you sharing your day with, everybody? Taking a look at our celebrity list. The Joker is 38. Novak Djokovic is 38 today. Siberian tennis stud. Some people consider maybe the greatest tennis
well,
player.
If you go by majors won, he has, I believe, the record of most majors won. So you could make an argument that he is the best.
And unlike some tennis players, you can't argue with the competition because the other people that some of the other names people want to mention, he's been in the same era of.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of him. I will admit that right away. It's very difficult.
Personality wise.
Yeah.
He's kind of
But as a tennis player, I admire not just him, but all these athletes that are able to, like LeBron James is in his 40s and averaging a double-double. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yep.
To see some of this happen.
Yeah.
Paolo Ohno is 43. Speed skater, won gold medals in both 2022 and 2026. 2010, won a silver and two bronzes.
He is one of the greatest names of all time.
Yeah.
Paolo Ohno, that is amazing. What a name.
He did win the fourth season of Dancing with the Stars.
Wow. See, he's in good to dancer even. Wow.
Maggie Q is 46. Wonderful character actor. A lot of people have seen her on TV. She was in Hannah Wells and Designated Survivor. Also starred in Nikita and the leader of a group in Divergent. I never saw the Divergent movies, so I'm not sure. Jennifer Goodwin is 47, Snow White on Once Upon a Time. Mm-hmm. She was also does a lot of voice work. She was in Zootopia.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Very good.
That was a sneaky good movie.
That's a very good movie.
I remember it a little bit and everything. But
She had really great chemistry with Jason Bateman, who did the voice of the fox in that. And that they did a really good job together.
I am just such a gigantic Jason Bateman fan. Yes. Yeah. Allison Eastwood is 53. Big fan of hers, too. Clint's daughter. She had minor roles in Bronco Billy and Any Which Way You Can and Tightrope. And
that's when she was a little girl, yeah.
And has had a pretty solid her career for herself. Has gotten some good work, too, here and there, I think. I was trying to think of what she's done recently, and I just wanted to look. Yeah, she hasn't worked in a while as an actor, but she's done some decent work.
Nice.
Let's see here. Oh, Naomi Campbell is 55.
Wow, supermodel, Naomi Campbell. Yeah.
One of the first. I don't know if she was the first supermodel, but I know it was like her and Cindy Crawford and some of those really early, mid-80s, early 80s. Mm-hmm.
When it became a thing, there were like models that were kind of like that. Cheryl Teagues, I always think of like in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
She might have been like the prototype of the super. But then there was a whole bunch of them that came, during the where they actually became celebrities, not just, you saw them in a magazine or something like that. They were actually celebrities because they were models.
It's not so much, it's a newer term in mm-hmm. some ways. It's only been around since the late 80s, mid 80s, something like that. So, and I believe she was one of the people to get that started.
I believe you are correct. Yes.
I know it was like ages ago, but I think about her and her throwing her phone or something like that. I don't remember at all.
Yeah,
any,
there was some stuff, right? Yeah.
Johnny Gill is 59, new addition and solo singer. Had a couple of hits here and there. Johnny Gill was one of those guys I thought for sure was going to be a hit master. Like he was going to have tons of hits. Didn't work out.
Boy, does that make me feel old. Someone from New Edition is 59?
I know, man.
Oh, yeah. Grief.
new addition to me is what New Kids on the Block are to most, you know,
people. Yeah, for like a decade later, right? Yeah.
The brooding Morrissey is 66. Lead singer and songwriter for the Smiths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, not a fan. Not a fan of the man off off air or anything like
kind
that.
Kind of a jerk. Kind of a jerk. Yeah.
There's a couple of his songs I do like.
Yep.
I actually like the remakes of the the other like covers of them a little bit, like How Soon Is Now.
There's a great
cover of that that I like more than the Smiths version and everything. But
although his work with the Smiths was really, in a lot of ways, so influential on a lot of other bands and stuff like that. His solo career has been hit and miss kind of stuff. But man, the Smiths, they were a special group.
They have their place.
They do, especially
with that style of music and everything that led the way for so many other
bands. And if you want to, you can give all the credit to Johnny Marr, the guitarist, because a lot of people do that because they don't like Morrissey either.
Yeah. That's what I'll do.
Johnny Marr is way cooler anyway.
Bernie Taupin is 75.
Wow.
Elton John's brilliant songwriting partner.
Yes.
Elton John will tell you that your favorite lyric, he probably wrote it.
He did. Bernie Taupin wrote, you think of all the big hits that Elton John had, very few were not, the lyrics were not written by Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, Elton John is very quick to not give himself any credit or anything like that, so I certainly think that he was, integral into the songwriting process and things.
He wrote all the music for it.
But I do love the idea, too, of how much he wants to push the credit to Bernie Taupin, and that it's not very often that a songwriter, a songwriter's name.
No, especially like a lyricist, because that's very, very rare. But you're right. Elton John has been very clear that he's not where he is without Bernie Taupin. So
it's kind of cool to think of when you in this day and age that a name, and I don't know how much it'll happen going forward. But the only thing we know about Bernie Taupin, it's not because he's an actor or a singer or any of those.
No, not really.
Just songwriter.
He was a writer. Yep. And don't feel bad for him, though. He's made a gajillion dollars off royalties. So you're good. He's good. He's doing all right.
I'm sitting here wondering, is he knighted? He's had quite the life,
career
and everything. Yeah. And I also admire, too, we were talking about this earlier, artists that could just sit back and keep kicking out greatest hits albums and everything. They just got done working, 2 years with Brandi Carlile on an album.
That's crazy.
It's kind of cool to do that stuff.
That man's energy. Anyway, he's amazing.
And some people no longer with us, like Harvey Milk, born in the state in 1930, the first openly gay man to be elected to public office. In 1978, he won a seat at San Francisco's Board of Supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
And 11 months later, he
was assassinated. Taken. Yeah. To be clear, it wasn't because he was openly gay. It was a political thing, the reason that he was killed. So, yeah.
I do think, I think his whole story is noteworthy, and that part is important of it. It's hard for me to say this because I do think that Sean Penn is an incredible actor, and he's done some really important pieces and good work.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that that's not his best work as Harvey Milk.
Yeah.
It's hard, and especially with what that piece meant to him and everything.
Right.
It
was a passion project for him, yeah.
And Seth and I were just talking about this yesterday off air and everything. Sean Penn is one of the weirder people.
He's weird.
He is the guy that our whole lifetimes has smashed cameras
been a jerk
in interviews. And
just behaved like a little brat in interviews and stuff, yeah.
And then I almost guarantee you, the next natural disaster there is, Sean Penn will be there without cameras or any of that paparazzi.
Literally go there to help people in person, not just give money. Yeah, he will do that.
You look at the things he was doing during Katrina or some of the things that have happened in Haiti, and he's there. It's usually a reporter stumbling across him, oh my God, Sean Penn's here. So he's not even doing it for the PR or anything like that. This is a weird one.
He's an interesting guy.
And a great actor. Really tremendous good actor,
and a pretty good director too. He's directed some good movies. Yeah,
but man, I don't know if I'd want to have
I want to sit down with Sean Penn.
I don't know if I'd this is weird for me to say. I don't know if I'd want to interview him. I don't know.
Yeah, he might get a little testy.
He might have
there.
A better chance just having a beer with him. That might go better than trying to interview him or something. I don't know. And as we are getting into our National Day of Calendar on the Sunrise Show, we noted this. It is Sherlock Holmes Day in honor of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, born on this day in 1859. Author and creator of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, indeed. If you're a famous detective.
If you're going to be a one-hit wonder, You know, that as a writer, I can't. I'm sure that music, it's very similar and everything, but I couldn't think of anything more frustrating than being a one hit wonder as a writer. Mm-hmm. To me, that is death. To me, it's one thing as an actor, musician, all these other things, but as a writer, you're almost built to write different styles and, mm-hmm. and be able to come up with different stories and everything. So it's got to be a weird thing. It was a weird thing for him, so much to the point that he tried to kill off characters.
He didn't want to do it anymore.
And the newspapers and the people lost their minds, and they almost rioted to the point where he brought these characters back at times and everything. That's happened mm-hmm. twice with him in his career. And it's just, if this happens nowadays, it's a story, but it's not as big of a one.
Right.
Back then, for that to happen, imagine the outcry that had to have existed for him to be like,
seriously, yeah, like, taken aback by that.
Like, okay, Moriarty's coming back.
Gotta bring Holmes back. Yeah. He's gonna write another story.
It's crazy. God. It's crazy to think of that.
Again, this, I don't know if it's because you're born on May 22nd or something, but another, not a great personality either.
No.
Very prickly. He was kind of nasty in ways. So I don't know what it is.
I am eternally thankful to his work, because as a young kid, getting to read that complete collection of Sherlock Holmes, just, oh man, it was like finding a great TV show, and, mm-hmm. and I just couldn't stop reading. I love those early stories.
Yep.
And getting the chance to play him and mm-hmm. everything is an honor that I'll always cherish and stuff. But yeah, I wouldn't want to interview him.
No.
I wouldn't want him to. I don't have to worry about it.
Well, he was like the mortal enemy of one of your favorite people of all time, Harry Houdini. So yeah, that wouldn't go over well.
That would be my first question. That'd be right out the gate. He wouldn't like me. We hope you do. Because we're coming back, and we got a good one for you when we get back. The most sleep-deprived cities. We're also going to get into, should you be introducing yourself when you're calling a company? Those things coming up. Hmm. I don't know about that one.
It's going to be interesting.
We'll be back after our news, sports, and entertainment and partner break here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Billy Ocean playing us in. 105.5.
That was good. I like that.
Welcome back to The Morning Show here at 97.5 FM, WFHR, 1320 AM. Thanks mm-hmm. so much for joining us, everybody. Did want to make a note that I was driving around and listening to the radio old school, analog-wise and mm-hmm. everything, and did have a little bit of static myself, so we know what's been going on with that. We're working on it.
Yep.
You know, we appreciate your guys' feedback. We appreciate you listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that.
Appreciate every one of you out there. Seth, we're going to get into an interesting topic here. The most sleep-deprived cities in America, or basically wherever I am living.
Ba-dum-bum.
Thank you very much, everybody. Worked on that one all night. A research team used data from the Centers for Disease Control to look into the sleep habits of people in 100 major cities, and then they put out a list of the most sleep-deprived cities. Here are the top 10.
All right.
And it does look like these are in order. So
okay.
we'll start at 10.
Yeah.
Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. There's so much to do in Memphis. Why would you want to sleep, man? There's a lot of great stuff there.
Yeah, yeah.
Clubs and restaurants and
I know when I finally get to Memphis, I doubt I'll be sleeping, because I'm going to, whatever, I want to head over to Nashville. I want to check out Nashville. Then
I just go back and forth.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And Beale Street, they've kind of closed off a main portion of it because it's become kind of a tourist area. But they have a whole bunch of street performers that are there, you know, all kinds of different stuff, acrobatics and stuff. That was really cool to see that.
That is so nostalgic to me.
Mm.
Anybody doing anything on the street corner or on the street, some of my earlier memories of the guys grabbing buckets and playing drums or mm-hmm. Break dancing or anything like that. Three card money. There's a call.
Different. We're not talking about that.
Number 9, Cleveland, Ohio. And
how dare you call Cleveland a sleepy town?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe people losing sleep over the Browns? I'm not sure. I don't know.
They've been losing sleep over the Browns for years.
Yeah. Laredo, you would think you'd be numb to it.
But you think.
Laredo, Texas at number 8.
Laredo, Texas? Really?
And just looking ahead, one of only 2 southern states on here.
Okay, so they usually get pretty good sleep down south.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good for them.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at number 7.
Eh, that makes sense. Totally get that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess, I'm going to take a brief prediction here, that a lot of them are going to be in the East Coast.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of sleep deprivation on the East Coast.
At number six, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, okay. This is a Midwestern one. All right.
And it gets even more interesting, I think, Seth. At number five, Cincinnati, Ohio. And number four, Toledo, Ohio. So Ohio,
what's going on in Ohio? Cleveland and Cincinnati and Toledo.
And spoiler alert, everybody, in our top three, not New York City, the city that never sleeps.
Oh, really?
In fact, New York, not even in the top 10. So therefore, I believe Ohio should, from now on,
it's the state that never sleeps.
Yes, Ohio should lean into this.
Or they don't sleep well. Maybe that's just maybe they just don't sleep very good. Yeah.
They ain't gotta, you don't got to read between the lines. You're just getting the lead in the headlines.
There you go.
Man, a lot of, the fact that Ohio shows up three times on this list.
That's interesting.
Makes me want to dive more into this.
Yeah. What's going on in Ohio?
With any state that showed up three times in a sleep-deprived list, that really does make me wonder, like, what is going... Anywhere else we want to point to, you're pointing to things to do and stuff.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's not things to do in Ohio. I spent a lot of time in Cleveland and loved it. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all the Ohio people. They're good people. But unless they're go to the OSU or something like that. That's different.
That's a little different. Yeah,
I can't think of, you know, what is it? Is it an environmental thing? Is it there? It feels like there's more there than we're seeing than this survey is showing us.
There is, and I think James, I think you can back me up on this one. So there are fewer state, with the possible exception of Illinois. Ohio, the difference culturally from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state is vast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you know, Illinois is very similar in that way because there's very different cultures there. So the fact that there's three from different parts of, because Toledo's more in the center of Ohio, that's the whole state. Doesn't matter where you are. It's not getting enough sleep. What's going on?
I don't know if the story made it up here or not, but I do remember when I was a kid, there was like loose talk of Illinois splitting. That's how different of a state
right,
it is.
Yeah, and everything. Yeah.
Obviously would never happen like that. But it was something that was talked about by, like, you know, columnists and stuff, and the Tribune and all that. I remember back in the day.
Yeah, right.
Ohio probably could have had a similar story.
Yeah.
One of the things that I went into with this list that I was thinking about wasn't so much the New York cities, but the high agriculture cities and having people having to get up super early in the morning
right.
when they went to bed super late at night or anything like a lot of our ag industry does, like
right.
a lot of our farmers and everything. And shout out to our farmers who've already put in the full day.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how much that plays into it either. This is all speculating. I don't know. At number three, Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. Well.
Huh?
They're just busy worrying about all the people awake in Ohio. That's it. That's all they're doing.
Ohio's keeping them awake. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
At number two, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah, well, why? Why would you want to sleep in New Orleans, man? Too much going on.
I guarantee I won't be sleeping a wink whenever I go to New Orleans. And Norfolk, Virginia at number one.
Norfolk, Virginia.
The most sleep-deprived city in America.
What?
I don't know.
Why?
Yeah.
What are you doing in Norfolk, you people?
This is one of those ones where they
Virginia of all states too.
They need follow-ups to every one of these cities. Really do.
What's going on?
How about the 10 least sleep deprived?
Oh, these ones getting their good sleep. Okay.
At number 10, San Francisco. At number 9, Oakland, California.
So okay.
First two in
the California. Bay Area. Yeah.
At number 8, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Okay.
Number 7, Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, I was going to say Lincoln. Not much to do there.
So kind of going all over the
without Denver, here. No, there's more to do in Denver, though. Yeah.
At number 6, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Totally, yeah. And right now, the entire city of Minneapolis is laughing. Yeah, we told you guys. You don't do nothing. You roll up the sidewalks at 10 o'clock.
At number 5, Boise, Idaho.
Nice. Okay.
Number 4, Madison, Wisconsin. Madtown.
Madtown is good sleep there. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Doesn't fit the Madtown Nick moniker.
They must not have studied this during weekends.
Yep.
When school is in session, right? Yeah.
They're definitely not. They did not do this questionnaire on the weekend. No.
No.
At number 3, San Jose, California.
Another California town. Wow. And Northern California too.
At number two, not so sleepless in Seattle. Seattle, Washington.
The whole reason they did the survey is so they make that joke.
Yes, yes. And at number one, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, I take that back.
Yeah, I was waiting.
Now St. Paul's laughing. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Both are doing the Spider-Man meme where they're both
they
just
are pointing at each other.
Other.
That's it, yeah.
So a couple of Midwest cities in there getting good sleep. That's interesting. Nearly all of the 10 most sleep-deprived cities are in the eastern half of the U.S. Good call, Seth. And Ohio has multiple cities in the top 10. California and Minnesota have multiple cities in the least sleep-deprived.
Yes.
And outside of the Lakers, I don't know that there's a whole lot in common with Minnesota and California.
There is not. No, there's a few states that Minnesota has a weird connection with. Minnesota and Texas.
Oh, interesting.
There's a very weird connection there. And of course, you know, all the Midwest states, you know, Iowa and Wisconsin and all the Dakotas and all that kind of stuff. Not California.
Yeah.
Nothing there. No.
I have a lot more follow-up questions with this after reading this study.
Yeah, even Wisconsin has something more with the whole dairy cow competition, you know, because California trying to say, like, no, we got more cows or something like that. But
so just a couple of quick takeaways. Both Norfolk and New Orleans, the top two most sleep-deprived cities, ranked high for short sleep duration and poor sleep quality.
Mm.
Nearly all the 10 most sleep-deprived cities are in the eastern half of the U.S. So just a couple of interesting
notes that's really interesting.
Duration.
Yeah, okay.
So sleep duration was a big factor in this, a big part of what leaned some of these cities one way or the other.
Yeah. Now I want to learn just more about Norfolk, Virginia.
Yes.
It's like, okay, why? What is causing this? I want to know more.
They got something going on in Norfolk. They're keeping to themselves. Like, we do not want to... There's certain cities that, you know, have like blown up in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Atlantic City, stuff like that, and everything. They saw that happening. They're like, we're not going to turn into Brunson.
We're not doing the Brunson thing.
No, we don't want to just keep it quiet, everybody. But it's really fun and cool here. We'll come back and have some more fun and coolness when we get back on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James behind the mics, thanks so much for joining us. We hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. We're going to get into some fun stuff in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll have Denise from the Southwick County Humane Society joining us with our Pet of the Week.
Very nice.
Looking forward to that. That'll be fun. Got some entertainment news for you. Some other fun stuff we'll get into as well. And I want to dive into an interesting one here. The top 10 songs that have been used the most in TV and movies.
Sure, there'll be some surprises there. Yeah,
I got that one coming up a little bit later. But to begin this next segment, let me go ahead and... just do this real quick.
Okay.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
From Austin Powers, Mr. Mike Myers.
Yes.
Hopefully you guys heard that okay.
I don't know. It's a little quiet, but yeah.
It's allow myself to introduce myself. It's one of my favorite lines that he's ever done. It's a great one. And we're talking about introductions right now. When you're calling a store to ask how late they're open or if they've got something in stock, do you introduce yourself?
Mm.
Like, hello, my name is Jamie Smith, and I was wondering how late you were open.
Right.
There's a TikTok that's going viral where a woman says she's always introduced herself on the phone when calling places, like a restaurant to make a reservation. She says it's just common courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
Her two friends don't do that. They say hi or something and get right to the point.
Okay.
It's nice you're very polite, but no one else does it, as their debate about this.
Right, okay.
Then this debate started online with some saying, they always introduce themselves and others saying they never do it unless they're specifically asking for their name, like the business is.
Yeah, sure.
For what it's worth, in the comments, a call center worker said that she loves it when people introduce themselves up front. But another person who has been a receptionist for 10 years said she makes fun of people who do that because, quote, why do I care? Just tell me what you need.
Oh.
So it's a very different, you know, it's a case-by-case thing, it looks
like. Wait, she's been a secretary for 10 years?
Yeah.
How does she lasted that long? Sorry. That's kind of rude. Anyway.
It's what, well, with her attitude, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have not thought of this before. And I like to think of myself as a gentleman. I like to think of myself as somebody who has that kind of
courtesy, right?
You know, to myself and everything. Mm-hmm. Have not even thought about this because my it goes a little bit farther for me where I'm thinking of the part where they mention about wasting time. Mm. I know this person more than likely has other calls waiting or other calls that are going to be coming up. I'm trying to get in and out of the conversation so they can get back to what they're doing and I can get back to what I'm doing. I'm not trying to be rude. To me, I'm being overly polite maybe in my head. I'm not saying I actually am. I'm just saying the overthinking that I'm doing with that.
I think, you know, I have actually thought about this from time to time when I'm calling a place I've never, or, you know, maybe a place of business I only call, you know, once, like getting an oil change or something like that, you know, a car repair shop or something like that. Well, I have decided I'm going to land on the side of introducing myself, and for a number of different reasons. The reason I didn't do it in the past was because do I use just my first name? Do I use my whole name? Do people get distracted by my last name? You know, that's one thing I have actually thought about. Habhegger, are they going to be like, what? You know, are they going to get stuck on that while I'm talking kind of thing? Sure. But I've landed on the side of going ahead and introducing myself because I do believe it's courteous to do that. And I also think, like the one lady said, I think you actually get better service if you personalize it a little bit more, and if you're willing to do that, you know, say I'm you know, so-and-so, and this is what I need and that kind of thing. I honestly think that that's helpful.
That's what I think it comes down to for most people when it comes to doing this or not. And and maybe this doesn't sound like the right reasons, but that service part you mentioned.
Right.
Where you're still dealing with a human being, and that usually the kinder you are to human beings, the nicer they are
to you. They tend to be, you know, like be treated like the way you want to be treated, right? That's the whole golden rule thing.
I like that.
But I would do it regardless, you know, even if I wasn't going to do it, because I still think it's the courteous thing to do. So,
What about the idea of doing this, but you use a name you've always wanted to use? You don't call you, yes, this is Vincenzo. I'm just calling to see that if you guys have any reservations available. And I like the idea of being able to just, you know, use whatever name you want.
Well, I can guarantee that if you use the name Vincenzo, then they would get stuck on it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, who calls our kid Vincenzo?
Yes. Well, I'd love to have that conversation with you and we can maybe get into it. Maybe. As I'm waiting for them to check and see if they've got enough, you know, chips in the aisle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's all you need.
I guess this is a. I'm curious too of the ages of these people because I'm wondering if this is a younger thing or an older thing. Some of that,
right? Right. And you don't want to like call up and like sound super self important. It's like, well, this is Caldworth Callington the Third, and I demand that you know that you're not. No, don't do that. But.
This is Lord Longbottom the 18th, and I was wondering, love the idea of doing that. When I was a kid,
people were like, what?
I have to apologize. I should actually take this more. I should have done this a long time ago. I apologize to the audience, and now I'd like to apologize to everybody I ever ordered a pizza from the ages of 13 to 20.
Oh, no.
16, 17, maybe, actually, where I would practice voices.
Oh, dear.
I was a young actor wanting to, like, work out these voices and everything, and I was never, like, a jerk about everything. I was very straight up about my order or whatever, but I'd be talking in a different accent, I would like to know, hey.
And
they were just as good as that right there. They were bad. I was not fooling anybody. I'd call up and I'd try to talk like Jack Nicholson or something like that.
They would totally buy it that, you know, he was ordering a pizza here in Wisconsin Rapids. You know,
like pineapple on my pizza. A lot of people don't really think that's a good idea. Don't really care. It was bad. It was bad. I apologize. I'm so sorry, Domino.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Whoever it was.
You just ruined some guy who was like, oh, I thought I was actually talking to Jack Nicholson.
He was really, really excited. I just heard that. Oh. I'd like to wrap up on good stories in our show here every hour. And this one is a good one to me, I think. I think it's a fun one. I know that you and Melissa and I have talked about messages in a bottle before.
Yes.
I apologize. I can't remember. This is something you've wanted to experience. I feel like one of you guys said that you would really love to be.
Melissa, I think, is the one who really would love to be a part of something like that. Yeah.
And now she will never forgive me because I mixed something up between the two of you. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her. It's fair.
You're going to hear it tomorrow morning.
I feel like I already do. I feel like I.
It's an angry message.
Don't blame her. Don't blame her at all. I'm not looking at my phone for the next hour. A pair of 10-year-old boys walking near a beach in Poland found a message in a bottle that turned out to be a handwritten love letter from 1959.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Young boys, Eric and Kuba, said that they found the bottle with a note inside while hiking along the World War II fortifications near Stoji Beach. Part is kind of cool, too, I think.
Very cool, yes.
The faded handwritten note inside was written in 1959 by a girl identified only as Risa. She addressed the letter to Bunny and spoke of feeling lonely at school.
Aww. That's so cute.
I assure you that I am quiet and modest, and I do not make friends with anyone. I simply avoid them, Ryan wrote.
Oh, no.
My dear, I was terribly egostic. I only write about myself, but I only think about you. I see you in every moment. Wow, this is a beautiful letter.
Wow.
Wow.
Just pouring out their feelings. I love it.
That's some great writing right there.
Yeah, that's good.
The boys who found the bottle said that they will use those words for their own love. No. They have been in contact with the museum and in their hometown in hopes that the letter author can be found.
That would be so cool.
How cool would it be to find like the person that wrote it?
Oh.
I don't know.
I hope they're not like embarrassed by it, but that would be really cool.
I don't know how many times that's happened where we've actually found the person that wrote the letter.
Oh, man.
And I got to look this up. Yeah. What's the oldest letter in a bottle we found?
That would be really interesting, yeah.
It makes me want to do this. Like, and I know, and I think I'm pretty sure I bring this up every time we talk about this topic. Oh, I got to do this someday.
Yes.
But everywhere I've ever lived, I've lived near a big body of water. There's no excuse not to do this.
I'm not condoning anyone throwing stuff into the river.
No.
We're not doing that.
Not at all.
Not at all. Mm-mm. No, no, no.
What about a recyclable bottle? I feel like we miss. There's certain things. Time only goes one direction, and all those things. Every once in a while, there's stuff that I'll read about or I'll think of, and I'm like, oh, we kind of that'd have been fun to experience, to been around at that time to experience this or whatever. there's certain stuff that, of course, modern conveniences make it like I don't even want to think about that. But stuff like this, I don't know. I think is kind of unique. It's also like. Is a foolish, foolish romantic. It's a little bit heartbreaking to think of.
Yeah,
I almost want to. I almost wish they could find the author to just. I want to hear the good story of the day of. And they've met up anyway.
And then they found each other. Well, the rest is history.
Is it better not having the story? We can write our own ending. And we can kind of do that. Like
let's live in the ambiguity, right? Yeah, let's do that.
I don't know. That's a bit of a placebo with that to it, I guess. I don't know. I find that an interesting.
That was very cool.
So I wanted to mention this before we wrap up the hour as well. Another good story of the day going on now until Father's Day. Our great friends at the United Way of South Windham's Counties have their diaper drive going on.
Ooh, driving diapers.
Help get new and unopened diapers of all sizes, wipes, unscented preferred, and diaper rash paste or creams into the hands of parents in need. Monetary donations are also accepted if you don't have a chance to pick up diapers or something like that.
I always accept that. Yeah.
Maybe you had a number of kids and you're like, I'm not buying any more diapers. I'll give you some money.
I get PTSD by going to the diaper section.
I don't blame one parent for that.
I can't.
We do encourage people that are buying the specific diapers. We're seeing a strong need, Terry mentioned, in for older kids for diapers and stuff.
Yes, there's that as well, yeah.
That we tend to think of little ones right away. Newborns and some of that, where it's more of the older that we
get. Yeah, right.
Those last months of wearing diapers, hopefully. Fingers crossed for all the parents out there.
We know you're struggling. Yes, we do. We've been through it.
I know that there are a lot of books out there about it and everything. There is no book or parent or anybody that can help you with that.
It's an individual thing.
It is such
child is different.
Any way we can help out, it's a great idea, everybody. Right, yeah. Be sure to drop those off at 351 Oak Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Say hi to all of our friends at the United Way while you're at it. And as I've mentioned before and stuff, with these items, we're going to be a place for you to drop off school supplies, these things. We'll always make sure they get in the right hands.
We will.
Find out more at uwswac.org. We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin.